Each and every week, it seems another prolific figure has been seemingly cancelled by the general public as they openly discuss what is perceived as controversial and possibly abhorrent by the general public. However, even if these opinions are harmful or toxic, does it do us any good to silence and shut them down completely? Is cancel culture doing more harm than good when it comes to open debate? To tell us more, we are now joined by Hugh Brecky, the Senior Research Fellow in Moral Philosophy from Griffith University, to talk more about the tricky phenomenon that is cancel culture. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Now, first, do we want to talk about, for any listeners who are not familiar with cancel culture, although I know the definitions are debatable, but generally, what's it about?
So you're absolutely right. It is debatable, and lots of different things can fall under its umbrella term. The idea is to attach consequences and accountability to what others say. The idea is that if people are saying things that are wrongful or harmful or offensive, the consequences will follow from that. And those consequences can sort of fall on a continuum from very ordinary actions that many of us would do many times probably in a week, to things that are much, much stronger. So at the lower end of the continuum, you've got people unfollowing or blocking somebody, deciding not to engage with them, no longer supporting their work, asserting that they disagree, those types of things, which most of us do pretty often. And then you've got a stronger position that can be taken that involves publicly calling out the wrong, shaming the speaker, pressuring their platform or their publisher, organizing boycotts, creating a social media pile-on. And then at the really pointy end, you've got refusing to work with them as a colleague or a client, putting pressure on their employment situation, maybe even getting them fired and destroying their career. So the idea is that you're creating consequences and accountability for what people do, and you're doing that in ways that potentially punish them, that potentially silence them and prevent them from being able to speak in that way in future.
Absolutely. And this topic has come back into the light. I mean, it was I'm pretty sure it was like the Macquarie Dictionary Word of the Year last year, I think, or this year. So it's definitely been under topic a lot. But last week in particular, there was a letter that went out from quite a lot of high-profile people in Harper's Magazine and the Sydney Morning Herald, which called out that we shouldn't necessarily go with cancel culture, and we should be able to have debates, basically. Very, very vague overlay of that. But in your article in The Conversation, when you were talking about this, you're talking about claims of moral wrongfulness, as you termed it, that tend to cause issues within debates. So what is moral wrongfulness?
So there are several ways that moral wrongfulness is coming up in this debate. So the idea of moral wrongfulness in itself is just a very ordinary idea that we all use all the time when we debate and think to ourselves and think about what others are doing, about whether what people have done was the right thing to do, was a good thing to do, made the world a better place. So we use those terms right and good in a kind of objective way. Sometimes we'll use those terms just in a way that's a good thing to do if you want this outcome. When we're talking about moral wrongness, then we're talking about things that are a good thing to do, period. They're things that are the right way that human beings should be interacting with each other and with the world. And so moral wrongness features in a couple of ways in the cancel culture debate, because it's moral wrongness that the cancel culture is being motivated by. They're perceiving wrongs and they're wanting to stand up and do something about those wrongs or about harms that are being created. But on the flip side, there's concerns about moral wrongdoing by cancel culture, the idea that exposing these things in these ways and having these types of effects driven through these types of sort of social media activism is itself creating morally worrying outcomes.
It's definitely a complex one to dissect, and there's so much going on. And there's such a big scale between having a debate and something that can be offensive. Sometimes it's easy to see and sometimes it's a little bit grey. But how can people engage with differing opinions without being immediately outraged? Of course, it depends on the situation, but how can we do that?
So it does depend on the situation, and the reality is that we all do have lines that we think shouldn't be crossed, and there all are times when we really will get outraged and think that something like cancelling is the right thing to do. But the Harper's letter and the general worry that's being put up is that we're seeing a real expansion in the types of positions and beliefs and speeches that are not viewed as sort of merely mistaken or silly or unreasonable or illogical, but are actually morally wrongful or harmful or offensive. And in train, following on from that expansion and the types of things that we see as being bad, we've increased the stakes of the mm-hmm. situation by being willing to apply sort of coercive force to get a person sacked, to silence them, to punish them. And the reality is that it's a very easy thing to do, to start thinking about the harmful things that follow from people that you disagree with. This is not a new thing. This has been around for a very long time. People often attribute and think of ways in which what their opponent is saying is actually going to cause damage and cause harm in the world. It's a very ordinary human reaction to being faced with a disagreeable opinion. And sometimes it's a thing worth thinking about and worth seriously considering. But it is critically important to be aware that everybody does this on both sides of politics. It's a very easy and instinctual thing for human beings to do. And that we need to be wary of it because there are significant ethical wrongs we can ourselves do if we try and shut down or punish a person, and we do that inappropriately. For example, we do it in a way where the crime doesn't fit the punishment. We wind up getting a person sacked for something that was a silly mistake or something that was taken out of context or something that ultimately we just disagreed with but really didn't impact upon the world and make it more unsafe or harmful in any real way.
Absolutely. It's definitely an interesting topic. And thank you so much for bringing your insight onto 2SER this morning. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it there, but thank you for taking the time.
Fantastic. Thanks, Molly.